Welcome back to the Extension Experience Podcast. I'm Dana Zook. I'm bringing you an episode I recorded in late January about the research that Oklahoma State is doing in the beef cattle area. I've invited Dr. Dave Lawman to discuss some of their research that they've been doing. It focuses on water consumption in cold, as well as the parasite resistance project that they're collaborating with the OSU Vet College. I brought this to you even though we're marching our way into spring. I felt it was still very applicable, very interesting. Dr. Dave Lawman is an endowed professor and extension beef cattle specialist at Oklahoma State University. Please enjoy my beef research update with Dr. Dave Lawman. Today, I have invited Dr. Dave Lawman back to give us an update on some recent research or current research that he and his team are working on. So Dave, welcome back.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So Dave has a couple different studies going on right now. He typically has a couple graduate students always working on something. Dave, you've done a variety of different things over the years, but right now you are working on primarily is it a water project or is it an intake project? So give us a little explanation of what's going on out at the North Range or South Range. You have several research facilities.
So our team, faculty here at OSU and graduate students, we have a couple of USDA grants, Dana. One of those is focused on cow efficiency, if you will, and how much forage a cow consumes. And really the basis for that project or the objective is to see if we can measure intake and performance of a heifer as a yearling, and then again as a four-year-old lactating cow and a five-year-old gestating cow, and see if their intake and gain on forage is repeatable later in life. So if their intake and gain as a heifer is a very good indicator of their intake and gain as a lactating cow and as a gestating cow. We hope so. We hope it is, because it'd be a lot less labor and cost to test them as heifers rather than having to wait to test them as cows. And then at the same time, we're trying to find ways to predict which animals will be more efficient consuming forage in all three of those stages: heifer, lactating cow, gestating cow. So hopefully we could eventually come up with a shortcut so we don't have to test them at all. And to do that, we're measuring metabolites. We're measuring greenhouse gas emissions using this fancy machine that measures methane emissions and carbon dioxide emissions. But as we go along here, we're finding out that actually the CO2 that a cow emits is pretty decent predictor of how much forage she'll consume. So maybe eventually we'll come up with a way to predict forage intake from a cow without having to do one of these darn expensive, labor-intensive forage intake studies.
So Dave's saying you don't want to have to repeat it all the time because it is a lot of work.
A lot of work, yes. And it's very expensive. Yeah.
Forage intake is hard to measure consistently over time. Like the weights of that and that the things that they have invented, you guys is like, I feel like you have come up with some really cool ways to collect that data along with collecting it, right?
Yeah. So but most people would be familiar with, individual animal feed intake system, like a GrowSafe system, the company is now called Vitaly. Or an Incentech system. A few universities have those. Not very many seed stock producers have those, but a few universities have these Incentech brand systems. We have one at our feedlot here at OSU. And then the third company that's fairly prominent here in the United States is Sealock Incorporated, and that's a company out of South Dakota. We have some of the Sealock units, and like you mentioned, Dana, we invented a basket to mount on top of that Sealock unit specifically for the purpose of measuring individual animal long stem unprocessed hay intake and forage use efficiency in cows.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's cool, but it's a lot of work.
Yeah. Emma, your graduate student, and
Yeah.
she did a lot of that work too. And
She did. And Sam Talley is the current student working on that project. And we've got also got some kind of cool water intake data from Sam's project this winter. And so as we go along measuring forage intake, we have a meter, okay, a water meter that goes to each pen. And
okay.
so we can track that water meter, let's say on a weekly basis, and see how much water that entire pen of cows consumes in a week, and then divide it by the number of days or whatever. Depending on the, when you write the data down, you can calculate their daily water intake. And so got a little bit of that data. I thought maybe you'd like to talk about on your podcast.
Yeah. So let's talk through it. Just like anything, like you were measuring water data, not necessarily. I mean, we typically think about water intake and we worry about water intake when it's hot, but we also are concerned about water intake when it's cold outside. So we got a good example of that in when it was so cold, right, Dave?
We did. Yeah, it got down to zero or even a little bit below zero during some of this winter's project. So we definitely had some cold periods.
So tell us a little bit about how they collect this. So you talked about the meters and what you are seeing, in a typical, I guess, colder as we got into later December, it looks like the weather was colder. So tell us a little bit about the intake that we're seeing with that.
Yeah, so Sam started his project here with these, and these are lactating cows. Okay, this first round of his study is with lactating cows. He started the middle of November, and we just pulled them out of the feed intake facility last week, so early February. So they've been in there since the middle of actually the end of October, but we started actually measuring water intake and forage intake in the middle of November. So he had a set of 4-year-old cows, and their average weight during lactation through this winter, fall calving cows, was about 1,220 pounds. The 5-year-olds were considerably heavier, and average weight on those cows is about 1,360. Normally, you would think that a cow, my rule of thumb is about 1 gallon per 100 pounds of body weight. So a 1,000 pound cow on average would consume around 10 gallons. A 1,200 pound cow consume on average around 12 gallons a day. There are a lot of things that can affect that, but certainly time of year and temperature is a very big one. They're going to consume a lot more water when it's hot, and they'll consume considerably less water when it's cold. In this study, now remember, these are cow-calf pairs out in those pens, and that meter doesn't know if it's a cow consuming the water or if it's one of those calves. And these calves are, through the study, they weigh anywhere from around 150 in November. I think his latest weight shows these calves weighing right around 300 to 320 pounds. So as I'm sure as the winter progressed, the calves are gradually drinking a little bit more water. But if my rule of thumb stands, those cows, the 4-year-olds ought to be drinking about 12 gallons a day. Looks like that, they're these pairs, the cow and the calf on average is drinking somewhere around right around 16, 16 and a half maybe gallons a day. So it's interesting. Not sure why, but the
It
heavier
is.
5-year-olds drink a little less water. The pairs, on average, consumed about throughout the winter, consumed about 15 gallons a day.
Right.
So, boy,
Yeah.
for wintertime, they're drinking. Seems to me like they're drinking quite a bit of water. I don't have any explanation why the 5-year-olds might drink a little less than the smaller, younger cows.
Right. I don't know either. Even when that average temp was like 35 degrees, so it wasn't quite freezing, it looked like the 5-year-olds, they consumed 15 gallons. So, Dave, what do we see? So this is like a cold temperature. This is some baseline of cold temperature. What would we expect when it got hot? Do you still use that same rule of thumb? Or
Yeah, I mean,
what?
they're definitely their water intake is going to go up. It looks like, Dana, and this is very preliminary, but it looks
Yeah.
like in this data set, their water intake declined when it was comfortable in 50 degrees. From that point, as it got colder, it looked like in this data set, their water intake declined somewhere around a tenth to a maybe 1400ths of a gallon per 1 degree decline in temperature. So if
Okay.
you take 10 degrees, that's one to 1.4 gallons for every
Okay.
10 degrees less water intake.
Listeners, there's not a lot of data out there on water intake. Is that correct,
That's
Dave?
correct. For sure.
OSU has a really excellent water intake fact sheet, but it really, in my opinion, is one the only of its kind. There's just not a lot out there,
There's
not a lot
not.
of research that's been done. And so it's pretty valuable as far as some people might say, like, well, I have a natural water source. What do I care what they're drinking? Well, we do care because water intake really drives intake, forage intake. It really helps the whole system function. And so even when it's cold, we would say, yeah, well, they'll eat snow or whatever. But if we don't have the right amount of water intake, we can really decrease intake at a time when we really need that consumption.
Yeah, I mean, when people are, if you've got a pond that the, rainfall fills, you're not too concerned about it. But if you intend to develop a facility or just put in a water hydrant, near a set of pens or something, or in a set of pens, anytime animals are confined and you're thinking about your construction of the facility, you kind of need to know how big those lines need to be, how much tank capacity you need to have in those pens so that it doesn't go dry, so that everybody gets their fair shot at as much water as they want to consume. That's when, especially construction projects for any kind of a facility, you need to have a good idea of the capacity that's needed for that facility. And so that's where this kind of data really, is really needed.
We do have the water fact sheet I mentioned. It's the number on that, if someone's interested, at the Oklahoma State website it's AFS 3299, and I'll link that in the show notes. But that's a pretty good gauge, and it doesn't go down to 0 degrees. It's pretty baseline on 40 degrees, but it's a good baseline to kind of have to kind of gauge. And so Dave's, I guess, refining that data right now through this
Yeah.
study.
Dana, the other thing I thought might be important to mention, the other time that someone would be really interested in how much a cow might be expected to drink is when you have to haul water.
Right. Yeah.
That is critical because you don't want to deliver just enough water that it's consumed rapidly, and then you come back a day later in the heat of the summer, and those cows just crowd around and fight to get to the water. That's kind of a disaster. And so you need to know at least minimum amount of water that you need to be able to deliver when you have to haul it.
Okay, so Dave, what is another study you're doing right now? You said you got two basic ones you're kind of focused on right now. We've haven't really covered this in a while, but tell us a little bit about the parasite resistance project you have going on.
Okay, sure. So there's been a lot of concern about parasites becoming more and more resistant to deworming or anthelmintic products. And so we launched a project to survey the state of Oklahoma to see how much of that's going on here in our state. Our area livestock specialists, people like you, and our county educators have been assisting us with that, along with the cooperation from producers to collect that data. It's a pretty simple protocol. What we do is we bring a sampling kit to the farm when the producer is planning to work their animals anyway, or process their cattle, run them through the chute for some other purpose, whether that be it branding time or weaning time, whatever's convenient for the producer. At that time, we try to collect a fecal sample on 20 to 30 prefer 30 if we can get it, but about 30 animals. And we send those, we identify, of course, label the bags of those samples, identify the animals individually, and send them off to the laboratory. The laboratory simply determines the fecal egg count, meaning how many eggs per gram in that sample. And that will tell them, the level of parasite infestation that was present at the time of sampling. And then it is assumed in our protocol that that day we collect the samples, the producer is going to deworm their animals. We come back 2 weeks later after the animals have been dewormed and collect another fecal sample on those same 30 animals and send it to the laboratory for the same fecal egg count laboratory analysis. And, of course, you would think, Dana, that if your deworming product was working as it should be, in most cases, the fecal egg count should be reduced substantially. And I think our veterinarians, Dr. Biggs and Dr. Gillum, are the two working with us on this project. Their indication is that it should decline or be lower by somewhere in the neighborhood of 90%+ if it's working really well. We've seen some products that are not reducing the fecal egg count more than about 50%. And so we are definitely seeing some resistance here in Oklahoma.
Dave, when we see that poor level of control, say 50 or 60%, are we assuming those worms that were not controlled are now resist or have been resistant or have some level of resistance to the product that was utilized? Does that make
Yes,
sense?
more than
Okay.
likely. And a lot of those cases, it's at an operation where they've been using the same product for a long time. And yeah, probably those parasites have gradually become resistant to that product. And then when only half of them or so are actually eliminated, the ones that are left are the resistant ones. And so those are the ones that are being propagated over
Yeah,
time.
they're producing more parasites that are then
That are
resistant. The
resistant.
genetics
Exactly.
of a parasite is very similar to what we see. We're breeding certain
It's
types of
survival of the fittest, right?
Right. So that is a project. We still need quite a number of cooperating producers. Is that right, Dave?
Yes, we definitely do. We do that analysis free of charge. Our extension team shows up and collects the data. We send it off to the lab, analyze it, summarize it. You get the results for your herd at no cost to the producer. We'd like to get up to at least 50 farms, and we've got close to 25, so we're about halfway there. So, yep, if you have an interest in that, you'd like to see how well the product you are using is working, we can help you with that. And you get to choose. We don't require any specific product. You producer uses whatever product their veterinarian and them and they had worked out to use in the first place.
Yeah, the only thing you have to do is just get them up again. You have to get the cows up and run them through again, cows or calves. And we want groups of calves too, if that would work as well. But that is the sticking point, Dave, that we've run into. Cat producers may not be in a situation where they can get them up again, but that is crucial for the data collection so that we can see what parasites, if any, are left. After that testing period.
For
And so,
sure. We appreciate the producers working with us, but no doubt it. I mean, you have to have the animals relatively close to a working facility and get them up 2 weeks later again. But the nice thing about that is it doesn't take long. We can get a fecal
No.
sample pretty darn quick. And
Yeah.
it's not a long, especially if we're only working with 30 head, it just doesn't take very long.
No, it's just very quick as long as we've got all the stuff ready to go. So yeah, we're taking more producers, looking for more producers this spring. And as Rosalind Biggs says, the worms don't have a holiday or a winter season that they take off. So right now is fine too, is what Rosalind told me the other day. So anytime We can get a producer scheduled as they're working calves is great. Well, thanks, Dave, for giving me a little background on what's going on at the department. We might have to do this occasionally, maybe come back this summer and see what the water data, how long. So you're not doing, you finished the data collection period here for these cows.
Yep, we just finished it. We'll move heifers back in there. We'll move the cows, the same set of cows back in here in about a month, and they'll be in there through the spring.
So more information to come in the
future.
More
to come.
Yeah, always more to come. So thanks, Dave, for joining me. Thanks, listeners, for joining us. If you have requests on what you wanted to cover, let me know. I hope you all have a wonderful week and look forward to speaking with you next time.